This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The world's largest free trade agreement comes into effect at the start of 2022, but the U.S. won't be part of it. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Leisha Chi Santarelli in for Victoria Craig. Good morning. The Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, or RCEP, is probably the biggest trade deal you've never heard of. It goes into force this Saturday, 1st of January, and will reduce tariffs over the next 20 years. Negotiations were spearheaded by China in 2012, and the deal will establish the Asia-Pacific as the world's largest trading bloc. RCEP accounts for nearly a third of the world's population and is forecast to add around $200 billion to global gross domestic product by 2030. Rajiv Biswas, the Asia-Pacific chief economist at IHS Market, explains how RCEP stacks up against other big trade deals.
The total GDP of these 15 nations amounts to $30 trillion, which is considerably larger than the combined GDP of the EU. The economic size of the RCEP grouping is also bigger than the US-Mexico-Canada free trade agreement. The RCEP will create a single trade agreement that binds together most of the large economies in the Asia-Pacific region. However, India, which was an original negotiating party to the RCEP, decided to pull out of the RCEP negotiations.
Now, we've spent a lot of time over the years talking about the CPTPP. Is RCEP a backup for China in case it's not allowed to join the CPTPP, which is formerly known as the Trans-Pacific Partnership and was a key part of the Obama administration's pivot towards Asia?
The CPTPP has 11 member nations, of which 7 are in the Asia-Pacific region. All 7 of these Asia-Pacific member nations are also members of RCEP, so China will already get quite substantial preferential trade benefits to these 7 nations through the RCEP agreement. However, by joining the CPTPP, China would gain enhanced market access to 5 economies in the Americas, notably the large consumer markets of Canada and Mexico. The UK has also applied to join the CPTPP, so if both the UK and China are able to eventually join the CPTPP, then China would also get preferential trade access to the UK market.
Rajiv Biswas speaking to me from Singapore there. Now let's do the numbers, because it appears stock traders are enjoying a so-called Santa rally. That's loosely defined as a positive performance in the last 5 trading days of the year. Asian stocks closed high on Tuesday, while here in Europe, the benchmark Stock 600 is also gaining ground. This, of course, powered by Wall Street, which saw the S&P's 69th record close overnight. Keeping with the trade theme, the cost of global shipping has risen dramatically this year as supply chains around the world battle with the impact of the coronavirus pandemic. It's led to frustrating delays for businesses struggling to meet consumer demand, but also to an estimated $150 billion worth of profits for shipping companies in 2021. The BBC's global trade correspondent Chris Morris has more. His report begins in Northern England.
Perfect. Early morning in a warehouse in Leeds, just before Christmas, and at long last a container arrives, all the way from China.
Yay! Boxer Gifts is a family-run business which develops and designs games and seasonal presents, and this is their busiest time of year.
And they need it today, otherwise the order's cancelled, so...
90% of their stock is manufactured in China, and container deliveries used to be incredibly reliable. But this year...
95% of them have been delayed by at least a week.
Wow.
And then the huge price increases that we've had to face as well.
Thomas O'Brien, the managing director of Boxer Gifts, says demand is high, but several containers full of Christmas gifts won't get to this warehouse until January.
2-month delay, you know, this is stock that people can't buy until the last minute. It really hurts.
Thomas's container was shipped from Ningbo near Shanghai.
The trouble is there aren't enough empty containers in China to meet the demand for sending goods around the world. The empties are in the wrong places. COVID shutdowns and delays have put global supply chains out of kilter. Michelle Wieser-Bockmann is the markets editor of the shipping journal Lloyd's List.
Empty containers that need to be repositioned back to Asia don't get loaded, and container lines are run like train lines. They have schedules and they're meant to call at fixed times for fixed durations, and that's just not happening because they can't.
And the cost of sending shipping containers by sea has risen dramatically.
It has absolutely gone crazy this year.
The shipping lines that carry containers are on course to make vast record profits this year, an estimated $150 billion across the industry. Ports are working longer hours to keep trade moving. More ships are on order, but it will take time for things to settle down. Tim Morris, chief executive of the UK Major Ports Group, spoke to a recent parliamentary committee in London.
We have moved to almost constant 24/7 working in the big locations. There's obviously a lot of disruption worldwide.
The huge disruption caused by COVID-19 has exposed vulnerabilities in global supply chains. In some ways, they've held up remarkably well given the scale of the pandemic. But it's been a reminder for all of us of how dependent we've become on getting shipping containers delivered around the world on schedule.
One option is to increase local production. They're starting to do a bit of that at Boxer Gifts in Leeds. But don't expect globalisation to retreat anytime soon. This is still a hyper-connected world, and now Omicron is creating more challenges for the supply chains we take for granted.
The BBC's Chris Morris reporting there.
Share how you have been impacted. Write us at marketplace@bbc.co.uk. Tomorrow, we'll look at the mounting levels of record debt piling up in the global economy. And if you can't tune in live, do subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening. In London, I'm Leisha Chi Santarelli with a Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.